Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's go!
Come on. Let's be clear.
Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Hi, and welcome to Shrine of Duty, the officially unofficial Line of Duty podcast. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about everything to do with Line of Duty, because basically we're obsessed with it.
It's so exciting. I can't believe it's back next week.
I know, all things AC12. So guys, you guys have been fans of Line of Duty for way longer than I have.
A while now, though. I'm not an original. Like, I'm not.
No.
I haven't been a fan since 2012.
No. Okay.
I'm a Netflix fan.
So I'm one of those people who watched Bodyguard first and was told to watch Line of Duty afterwards.
Yes, the same writer.
So you guys were obviously the other way around.
Yeah, it really upsets me in the promos for the new season, the way they go Line of Duty from the makers
of Bodyguard. I feel exactly the same. I'm like, how dare, if you're only coming to Jedge and Mercurio after the Bodyguard, it's a bit of a, like,
I'm that person, guys.
Bodyguard by the makers of Line of Duty, because yeah, it's 10 times better.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
And by better, I mean more complex and confusing and dialogue heavy. So
yes, I learned that the hard way. I watched the first season. You know when you're kind of cleaning your room and you have Netflix on in the background? I didn't have a clue. I had to put subtitles on and watch it again.
You need to pay attention.
And then I had to read an article to tell me what happened in it and then watch a recap. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of rewatching. I'm nearly finished rewatching it all. And I didn't take in 99% of the stuff that happened the first time
yeah,
around.
Yes.
No, honestly, like, all went over my head.
Yeah, entirely over my head as well.
So for anyone else who needs a bit of a catch up before season 5 episode 1, this is where you're going to get it.
We're essentially doing this for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like, I was reading stuff today that I've now watched twice and it's still a surprise to me. So yeah, I'm doing this for myself.
That happened to me today as well. Yeah. I was doing my homework and I was like, what? Did that happen?
There's all these people, I'm like, remember them? I forgot they were in.
Oh, I had to Google people. I had to get images up. I didn't know who anyone was. So anyway, maybe we're not the best people to be doing a podcast on this show, but we love it.
We love it. And that is why we're here in a room together talking about it. We've also got an email address. So like each week when the season starts back, if you want to email us, shrineofduty@gmail.com.
We want to know all your theories.
Yeah,
all those weird observations, anything a bit juicy that we might have missed, because we do miss a few things.
Or just, you know, when you want to just chat to someone about a show, just chat to us.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're sweating to be like, I just can't wait to talk about that theory, or can't believe that happened and no one else in your house is watching it? That is what that Gmail is for, so just get in touch.
And at Shrine of Duty on Twitter as well, and Shrine of Duty on Instagram.
All covered.
I mean, we really just...
All over your social channels.
The second we came up with the name, it was just all over there.
Let's just give her credit.
Thanks,
Rebecca,
guys.
Came up with the name. Absolutely brilliant.
I saw that the Walking Dead podcast is called The Talking Dead.
Yes.
So I was like, listen, you need to keep it within the name, don't you?
Yeah.
The official Instagram account for the BBC did follow us on Instagram today, so they know about the name.
I'm sweating about
it. Do you
that.
Think they're having conversations about how good that name is? Do you think Jed Mercurio knows?
Maybe.
That you have called this podcast a Shrine of Duty.
Give me a ring. Okay?
Give us a job, look, okay?
Yeah.
We don't have a clue what's going on in the show, but we'll help you write the next season.
Obviously, it goes without saying that there will be spoilers throughout this entire podcast. So if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it without spoilers, you should probably go and do that now.
Get off this podcast and go and watch it. Season 1 to 4 is on Netflix,
yeah,
isn't it?
Or, yeah, it is, yeah. Or if you haven't watched it and you haven't got time to watch it, Hannah, you're up. Season one.
Okay, bear with me now because this is probably the most difficult TV show to summarise onto one page that I've ever had to do. There's vast amounts of information
have you done
cut
it
out.
Often?
Look. Okay, so I'm going to try and summarise season one. So it aired in June 2012. It's just 5 episodes. So the amount of information that's in these 5 episodes. So we meet DC Steve Arnott. He's played by Martin Compston. He is refusing to cover up a counter-terrorist police raid that goes wrong and is transferred as punishment to AC-12, which is headed up by Superintendent Ted Hastings, played by Adrian Dunbar. We all remember that. That's the very basic premise of this.
It feels like a long time ago.
Well, I was like, oh my God, do you remember why Steve ended up in AC-12? Like a shock. I watched about 2 weeks ago. So the first case he is given is to investigate DCI Tony Gates, who is Lenny James, and he's just been made Officer of the Year, but he's been suspected of ladgering, which is basically putting loads of crimes onto one person to make to one person that you've already convicted. I think that's what it is, to make it look like you've solved more cases than you have, right? So they're investigating him for that. And Kate Fleming, who's played by Vicky McClure, is also on the case. She's the inside woman on Gates' teams, right? Now, this is where it gets so complicated, and I'm going to try and summarise it in 6 bullet points.
Okay.
So just bear with me, okay? Gates is having an affair with his ex-fiancée, Jackie Laverty. Do we remember her?
We do.
We do, yeah.
Queen. Runs over a dog, turns out to be her again.
Oh my God.
Right. So she comes over to his house bawling, crying, being like, help me cover it up. You know, I ran over a dog, blah, blah, blah. A couple episodes later, no, she very purposely ran over the accountant. He helps her cover it up by saying, no, the poor guy.
This is, and also, sorry, if you've watched Bodyguard and you haven't watched Line of Duty, this is Anne Sampson.
Yeah. Queen.
Queen, she is.
I adore.
Yeah.
Pay attention. We've loads to get through.
Sorry.
So he helps her cover it up by staging a break-in. Later on, he's actually working on the case as well, so he deletes a missing persons file for that accountant in the office. But Arnott has eyeballs on him and he sees him doing something, so he's kind of clocked onto him, right? So Arnott then figures out that Gates and Laverty are riding, basically, because he speaks to a waitress that sees them having breakfast. And he also clocks that a number of recent break-ins we're in the kind of town they're working in, where are properties that she owned, okay?
Right.
So he's trying to get to the bottom of it, but all of a sudden she's murdered.
That was shocking.
Shocking. Remember that?
Yeah.
Shocking.
And her house is really glam.
Her house is so glam. So she's murdered. Gates is there at the time. They're having their affair, but the murderers knock him out, rub his fingerprints all over the night, and leg it. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
He's now in the house. Arnott's on the way over. There's 2 whiskey glasses. He's woken up now. There's 2 whiskey glasses on the table. He's freaking out because he's like, if the police get here, see 2 whiskey glasses. I'm already here.
Or someone's here.
Cover's blown. Yeah. So he takes the whiskey glass that links him to the crime. Blah, blah, blah. A couple of episodes later, he's brought to a warehouse, shown Laverty's body, which is in a freezer.
In the freezer.
In the deep freeze. Shown the knife and has basically said, remember by that little shit, that kid Ryan?
Yeah.
Terrifying character.
Cycling around on his bike.
Yeah, he's about 8.
So intimidating.
So he's basically told, we have the murder weapon, your prints all over, we have her body. If you don't now work for Tommy, you're screwed. So he's now being blackmailed, right? 3 more bullet points, we're nearly there. In the meantime, Arna quits his job because he's upset of all of the stuff that went on with the counter-terrorist case that he's now getting blamed for it.
Yeah.
So he quit. But he's quickly back on the case when Fleming connects Gates and Laverty via Gates' children's school fees.
Aha,
do you remember that? So she does some investigating and she's like, Laverty are paying for your kids to go to this mad expensive school. That's the connection with the money.
Yep.
So Arnott's like, right, I'm back in. I'm addicted to this now. I'll help you. Now, we actually haven't spoken about Gates' 2 kind of henchmen in the job. One of them is Nigel Morton. Do you remember? He's kind of 2 lads
he
working for him.
He walks with a walking stick.
That's exactly it.
Nigel does.
Yeah. So he cops that. Do you remember he spits in the back of her head? He cops that Fleming is the mole because she's on the 2 phones. The cover is blown and he spits in the back of her head. Oh, you could nearly get sick. It is disgusting.
It is,
So her cover is blown. Now she's out of there. Gates then tricks Arnott to come to a warehouse where he's tortured but rescues him last minute. Arnott then, we're in the last couple of scenes here and it gets brilliant. So Arnott convinces Hastings to use Gates to get to Tommy.
Yeah.
They put a tap on Tommy's phone and trace him to a golf club. Now, throughout the whole of season one, we've been hearing whispers of the caddy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, here we are at the golf club, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, So Gates gets Tommy into a car and they're driving down the main road. Gates knows there's no way out for him. Tommy's kind of got him like backed into a corner. So he hops out of the truck in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a road. DCI Arnott is there. Kay Fleming is there. And he says to Arnott, and this is my favourite line of the whole series, he's like, I have to die in the line of duty in order for his family to get the money from the cops. So he basically throws himself in front of a van. Gone.
Shocking.
That was
shocking.
Also so
absolutely
shocking.
Absolutely shocking. I didn't see it coming at all. So to wind up that season then, Matthew Cotton, who's the other kind of henchman for Gates, and he's been there in the background of all the seasons, and when you rewatch it, you start to see little dodgy things that he's been doing throughout. Tommy's then on the side of the road. Cotton pulls him into the back of an ambulance and Tommy reveals Cotton to be the caddy. He was the inside man all along. It was never Gates, it was never Arnott, it was never anyone else. And that is the end of season one. It gets wrapped up in an epilogue where we find out that Tommy is put into witness protection, the case against Gates is dropped, and Arnott is acquitted of all his charges.
Well done.
Now, was that
well
a good summary? My mouth's dry.
That's a really good summary.
I forgot
so much
stuff.
Happens.
Did we? I think it got a bit confusing there, but that is honestly not my fault. I tried my best.
There's a lot.
There's a lot in it.
And that's only 6 episodes.
No, I love Cotton so much.
Yeah,
he's a great character.
He is a great character.
Isn't he?
So I've tried to summarise season 2 in a similar way to the way you've done
your
one.
Your page is shorter than mine.
It's
Brandon.
Shorter because, and I'll tell you why it's shorter, because I've basically stripped out every subplot.
Yeah. Every red herring.
There's a lot of
subplots.
There's so much, right? So this is just to give you a very vague overview of what happens in season 2. So in season 1 there was 5 episodes. In season 2 it goes to 6 episodes. Introducing my favourite
queen of the world
character and one of my favourite actresses, DCI Lindsay Denton, played by Keely Hawes. Like, obsessed with her, right? So the whole story here is at the very last minute, DCI Lindsay Denton agrees to help arrange the transfer of someone who is in witness protection.
Now, who's in witness protection? It's our pal Tommy from season 1.
So, while in convoy, they're ambushed and everyone is killed except for Lindsay Denton.
Suspicious.
So, Ted Hastings at AC-12 asks Kate and Steve to investigate. As Steve tells Kate, you push from the inside, I push from the outside.
Oh, Brendan, you put quotes in yours. You could have told us to do the same. Make a show of us now.
You know those people, you're like, you studied for the test.
That just pops out in my head. He says that. He says it in a few.
Right, proceed.
So, Lindsay Denton ends up locked up where she's boiling water poured over her hands.
Remember
that was awful.
Awful.
Now, also, continuity, they recovered fairly lively, let me tell you. She is boiling water poured over her hands by prison wardens who've obviously heard that she's probably responsible for the deaths of several police officers in that ambush.
Oh, I forgot why,
yeah. Lindsay Denton gets led out of prison to see her dying mother, but her prison van ends up being run off the road while they're on the way back, right?
Like, it couldn't breathe when that happened.
This seems really creepy. So, two legit but corrupt police officers pretend to help her. This is so twisted. Mm. They pretended to help her and be like, oh, you know, you're technically, because she fell out of the van, and they're like, oh, you're technically, you know, broken out of prison. And she's like, yeah, just phone it in and we'll tell them we'll go back. And they're like, oh, no, get in. And they shove her in the boot of this car and they take her to like a multi-story car park somewhere. She ends up getting away from them, but only after one of them kills the other officer. So she rams her car up against traps the other cop up against the wall using the car.
Using her car, yeah.
Gets him to like record like a last, you know, dying confession.
Right, dying declaration.
Yeah. Dying declaration. And then she heads off.
She was so amazing in this season.
So amazing.
She's such an amazing character.
Because she didn't get to smile once. Do you know what I mean? You could feel the weight
of
it
all. Oh my God. She's so tough, but there's a sadness about her.
So torn all the time. So through all the twists and turns, it ends up that Lindsay was in on the ambush, but only to a certain extent. She took the money to help cover the cost of her dying mother's nursing home, but she didn't know everyone was going to be killed. As with all Line of Duty storylines, it's very complex.
Yes.
All this, plus Kate writing the dead officer's husband.
I forgot about that.
She initially said, so Ted asked them to investigate and Kate went, oh, I can't investigate this because I was training with her, Acres? Was that,
Yeah.
But it turns out she was training with her, but she was having an affair with her husband.
Can I just ask real quick, is she separated from her husband in this show or are they together?
I don't know.
What's cracked?
Because she was sleeping in her car at one stage and she has to visit her son. I don't know if it's been made
very
clear.
What I find interesting is, right, just for a sub plot moment. We've never met her husband.
No.
No, but apparently,
and I find that quite juicy.
Mm. Season five, yeah. Yeah. We're going to see a lot more of their personal lives, apparently. So I'd say it's coming in.
I'm like, are you a balaclava man?
Oh, my
so God. Also from season two, missing Carly Kirk.
Oh my God,
yes.
Yes.
Forgot about her.
Mike Dryden getting a blowy in the car from Carly Kirk.
No, that was rotten.
I know. Lindsay Denton's affair with Mike Dryden.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lindsay Denton's abortion.
Oh my God, I forgot about
yes,
that.
Yes, that all feeds back into it. So at the end of season two, Lindsay Denton is jailed for life for conspiracy to murder. And Matthew Dot, the caddy cotton, is asked to remain on as an AC-12 officer.
So I actually haven't watched season two in a while, and my homework was to recap season one and season three, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out why Dot was now working with AC-12.
Yeah.
I was like, am I gone mad?
Ted was basically like, you did a great job, fella, would you stay on?
But now, oh God, now I'm a bit suspicious about Ted hiring him. That's dodgy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Go on.
Now, my wrap-up of season three isn't as concise as that, Brendan. That was brilliant, but we'll get there. So season three aired in March 2014. It was six episodes again. So AC-12 are back on the case when Sergeant Danny Waldron shoots a suspect in cold blood and forces the rest of his team to cover up for him. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
The thing about his character was they really heavily promoted him. So he was on the front cover of
Radio
Times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The
and,
Radio
and
Times.
The mad thing was he doesn't stick around for too long, as you will tell us now.
Absolutely. So he attends the funeral of the victim, follows another one of the mourners home and shoots him as well. So it's just a bloodbath straight into season three. So basically he implies that the two men he killed were part of a group who abused him as a child, which is Sans View.
Yeah.
And addresses a list of names which includes Tommy, so all the way back to season one. And for apparently Jeb Mercurio writes episode by episode, he doesn't write things ahead, he doesn't have a big storyline, so the fact that these things are all feeding back in is mental. So he addresses a list of names which were the two lads he killed and Tommy to Arne, puts it in an envelope before he's shot in the neck by a member of his team. So that is where this season kind of kicks in. So Waldron is dead, as you said,
in the
heavily
first
promoted
episode,
gone
isn't it? Yeah,
yeah. So Ben Copper Cotton will later on steal this list and it'll come back up to basically cause loads of drama. So meanwhile, Lindsay Denton is up in court for conspiracy to murder Tommy. Arden is called in as a witness. She claims they had sex. Remember that? The drama.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I really wish they did do it. They didn't actually have sex, did they?
Didn't,
no,
yes.
I think there's a bit of heavy petting.
Oh, heavy petting.
I kind of wanted
fairness.
Them to be together, like.
Yeah, yeah, and she's gone now. Yeah. I was going to say you never know, but she shot dead at the end of this season, so we do know.
She killed the bodyguard as well.
Well, do we know that though? Anyway, so she eventually got off not guilty and turns up at AC-12 claiming to have footage of her and Arne having sex, right? So that is a subplot, so we leave that there for now. So AC-12 are investigating the Waldron team, and as Fleming expects, they're covering up his murder. So basically, this results in another PC called Rod Kennedy's body being found hanged in a warehouse. The remaining members of the team are then claiming that Kennedy killed Waldron to cover it all up, but AC-12 are basically like, this is all too, do you know what I mean, it's too easy, yeah. We're not explaining this away. So throughout the whole season, Cotton is doing loads of dodgy stuff, building it up to basically the fact that Arnott is the caddy. So that's a massive part of this season. He eventually gets Baines, who is a member of Waldron's team, to confess to murdering Waldron on the demands of a secret contact who ends up being Cotton. So since season one, this guy has basically been weaving his way into AC-12, weaving his way through the police team and doing whatever he wanted. So AC-12 are now conducting different interviews with people who could be connected to this child abuse at Sands. Now, this is one thing I want to talk about for a second. Arnott and Hastings go and visit former Vice Chief Inspector Superintendent Fairbank.
Mm. Yeah.
And Arnott watches Hastings shake hands with Fairbank and claims it to be a Masonic handshake.
Yeah.
And this kind of brought up the whole thing of, is Hastings involved? Does it go all the way to the top? Is he H? So it all started in this season, mm-hmm, with this handshake, which is a moment. And it makes me feel sick because I love Adrian Dunbar so much. And if he turns out to be evil, I'll just be devastated.
I kind of fancy him a little bit.
Kind of do as well.
No.
Yeah, but
as he's so good, because he's just, he's so inherently
Good. To the letter of the law. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he's so inherently
good. Yes, that's just how I see him. I'm like, you are the hero. And now I'm like, are you evil?
But that's what's so good about this, the way you're made question
everything. No one's safe. You don't know what's going to happen next.
So continuing on in season three, Cotton blackmails his old friend Morton to get a phone and a SIM card off him that proves his true identity as the caddy. Martin hands it over, but they turn out to be fakes. He still has the original phone and SIM. Arna then decides to team up with Lindsay Denton because he is the only person she's the only person he can think of that might be able to help him overthrow Cotton. They're on the hunt for Waldron's list. Denton gets her hands on the list after tricking Arna. Remember this?
Yeah.
Cotton finds out that Denton has the list, holds her at gunpoint in Arna's car. She quickly manages to email it to Hastings in the most tense scene of probably the whole four
seasons. You could hear a pin drop.
Hastings uses the list as proof to address Fairbanks, but Lindsay Denton is shot dead in DC Arnott's car.
By
Cotton.
Cotton.
So Cotton has killed Denton in Arnott's car, which he has stole. So Cotton, Arnott is then arrested. He also plants evidence in his gym bag and claims that Walden's note to Arnott contained a little golf tee confirming Arnott is the caddy. So yeah. This whole season is basically Cotton building up more and more evidence to have Arnott thrown in prison, basically. Fleming has been working as a double undercover for AC3 throughout this whole season. She rats Cotton out. She and Hastings pull his claims apart. And during an interview, oh my God, you remember this bit? During an interview where Cotton is being interviewed by Fleming and Hastings in AC12, he sends three texts.
Yes.
The texts say removals, talk, and ride. And all of a sudden, one of the armed officers in the interview room turns around, shoots the other one dead, throws Cotton a gun. The whole place is shot to bits. He runs out. There's a getaway car outside and he's gone. It's absolutely
incredible.
You'd be pulling your hair out.
Yeah.
So just before...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Season 3 wraps. Kay Fleming hops in a car. She follows him. She's flying down the road after him and shots are fired at her. In a last attempt at being a good person, Cotton jumps in front of her, takes the bullets for her, saves her life. And as he is lying on the ground, she records his dying declaration, which admits that Fairbank was involved with the Sandsview and all the paedophilia and puts him in jail for 10 years. It is literally, you'd just be left staring at the blank screen out of breath after that. The season ends with Fleming awarded and promoted to sergeant. Morton retires a full pension, gets away with it all. Denton is buried, no one attends her funeral, and Arnott is exonerated of all of the charges brought against him. So that was season 3.
I felt so sorry for Steve being framed during that.
Oh my God, yeah. Because you just are like, how is he going to get out? It's just scary.
It was too much. It was just mounting evidence against
him. That's it, because it's the shooting in the car. It's him going around with Lindsay Denton. The fact that he denied down to the ground that they did Anthony and she turns up with the recording and he did. So he's been proved lying. Then they zip open the gym bag and all the stuff is in there. And you're just like, how is he going to get away with it?
He so could have nearly got done. Do you ever have those like panicked thoughts? Like, what if someone framed me for something I didn't do?
Yeah
horrific.
Like, that
could
happen.
Scary, isn't it?
And yeah. Dot's final moments when he saved Kate's life, and you know, they were kind of verging on romance.
He was inviting her over to the apartment a couple of times, and he was lonely and she was lonely, and there was a bit of romance there for a while, wasn't there?
Yeah
you do. He does redeem himself slightly.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah. You're like you're so evil, but there is,
when he's dying you feel for him, and when he does that little declaration and she's leaning down and getting it into the phone, like, it is a bit of a heart
also
strings,
I would have gone to Lindsay Denton's funeral if I'd known when it was on.
Same.
Yeah, how did no one go? So it was literally, she only had her and her mom. Do you know what I mean?
And the cat.
And the cat,
yeah.
She made a glorious return in The Bodyguards.
She did. Add another glorious exit. Rebecca, season BBC. 4, bring us up to speed.
So you guys did excellent homework. I went on Google and I found this really great article on the BBC website, and it's called All You Need to Know to Get Up to Speed for Series 5 of Line of Duty.
Oh,
I'll just cut across you and credit Wikipedia massively for what I did there. Same. As in lifted.
It's so complicated that you have to, I have to, I'm not saying you do, it's so complicated that I need to watch it twice, then I need to read a Guardian review, and then I need to find
to tell you how you feel,
what Jed said to explain after.
Yeah, like, what that meant.
Oh my god, that could be a new feature.
What Jed said. Okay, we'll do that next week.
Write that down.
Oh, actually, I have a few quotes from what Jed said, but maybe we'll do that later
tonight.
On the episode.
Great.
Perfect.
Okay, so season 4 of Line of Duty aired in 2017. So we've had to wait 2 years
season
5.
Like, it's not as long as you think it would be when you consider how complicated the scripts are.
Well, see, he went off and did Bodyguard in the middle of
exactly.
all that. So
he's a busy man.
He is very busy. So the storyline followed DS Kate Fleming, DS Steve Arnott, and Superintendent Ted Hastings, my favourite, Bay, as they investigate the actions of DCI Roz Huntley, played by Thandi Newton.
Oh my god, it's the ARM series.
It is the ARM series. I'm so glad I got to summarise this one, because I just that whole ARM situation was,
it makes me giddy even though it's awful, so I'm sorry if I
it
laugh.
Was just
I just
shocking.
Do get giddy that they cut Thandi Newton's arm off.
So Hannah, wait for the synopsis.
Sorry. So
the BBC article has about 10 bullet points, and it's written beautifully, so I'm going to read it out for you guys, and I might change one or two words so it's not complete copy and paste. I actually can't credit the author because it's a generic Eric Logan. There's no
thank you to
it.
The BBC for
so
this
thank
show.
Thank you BBC for Line of Duty and for this particular article. Synopsis. Under pressure to catch a serial killer, DCI Roz Huntley could do without forensic coordinator Tim Ifield, played by Jason Watkins, questioning the evidence against the suspect.
Sorry, I love that she could do without us.
She could do
could
without,
do without
us.
You.
So, Ifield takes his concerns to AC12 and Kate Fleming goes undercover to investigate Huntley.
Of course she does.
Suspecting that Ifield has basically ratted her out, Huntley confronts him at his home. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
How could we forget? So Huntley returns to work with a concealed hand injury. And Ifield...
Poor Shadow.
Ifield is then discovered dead with 3 fingers amputated.
Oh, that was Mankey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember she couldn't lift him?
Taking charge of the crime scene, Huntley implicates Ifield in another murder. The other murder. Her husband refuses to confirm her alibi, and then he falls under suspicion himself.
Do you remember when she punched the husband at the end?
The husband was so shady.
She was getting battered.
It was obviously
so
deliberately
shady.
Written that way. Yeah. I was like, oh, there's balaclava, man.
Red herring. Then a man in a balaclava, speaking of balaclavas, throws Steve Arnott down a flight of stairs.
Oh my god, he's in a wheelchair. This season makes me giddy, but it's actually awful.
It was awful. So Huntley then has to have her hand amputated. And she's... I know, it's not funny, but
no,
it was just
funny.
So dramatic.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just because I can't believe they
so
did
she
it.
Had
so
this, she basically had a bite mark on her arm that got so infected, it basically got gangrene and she had to get it removed.
The way you said gangrene.
Sorry.
It's because
the wound was getting so infected and it had
sepsis.
MRSA in it, and basically Ifield had one of those bugs in his mouth and his saliva. That's how they linked the two of them together.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so his...
I've only watched the season once.
And his bite on her arm was his DNA was in the. Do you get me?
That's why she wouldn't go and get the antibiotics and stuff.
She wouldn't go to the hospital.
So
basically, her arm was like not a murder weapon, but it was a huge piece of evidence. So she just hoped.
Do you remember when she woke up and it was gone?
Yeah, no,
that would like I actually have got
we actually can't.
No, but I honestly, that is so scary. Imagine like waking up and you've been amputated, but like against your will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was against her will as well. Steve Arnott's thrown down a flight of stairs. Huntley has her arm amputated and she's arrested for killing Tim Ifield. Her solicitor is found to be linked to Balaclava Man, as is Huntley's boss.
Totally forgot this.
Assistant Chief Constable Derek Hilton.
Derek
Hilton, dodgy character. A recording of Cotton's deathbed declaration reveals he was promoted by a corrupt copper whose name begins with H.
It makes me just
so sick. This is where the questions start. Is this the newly deceased Hilton, or could it be our beloved Ted Hastings?
I mean, I will riot in the streets.
Yeah.
So the epilogue at the very end of the episode reveals that Roz was sentenced to 10 years for Ifield's manslaughter and the cover-up. She and Nick are still married, apparently.
Shocking.
Lakewell pleaded guilty to perverting the course of justice, but he declined witness protection and he refused to testify. Michael Farmer was released without charge. That was the guy who was originally arrested for the crime.
The young guy, yeah.
Oh my God, the young guy, and they tried to set him up. Oh, yeah.
And the Regulation 15 order against Hastings was dropped, and Hastings remains in charge of AC12.
Good man, Ted.
That was a really great synopsis. Thank
you, BBC.
That was
brilliant. Well, thank you so much. That was the best of all the ones that we had.
So there we are now. Up to speed.
They put two little bullet points at the end of their synopsis. They're like shocking moments. Huntley and Ifield fight in the apartment.
Yeah, that was shocking.
That was shocking.
But, like, it looked like they were going to hire Tandy Newton and then kill her.
Yeah, it really pointed towards her being killed. Yeah, Arnott being attacked was also shocking. And memorable dialogue, which was said by Ted Hastings.
Please do it in the accent, please.
I can't do a Northern Irish accent.
Go on, just do it.
This is beginning to feel like... I'll try again.
Just do your
go on, for a bonus point.
This is beginning to feel like life's work. So anyway, season four, it left us all wondering the true identity of the killer balaclava man, and contemplate whether Superintendent Ted Hastings is corrupt.
Oh, please, no.
The network of bent coppers revealed itself to be even larger and more complex than AC12 could have ever imagined.
Now,
yes.
Did we not find out who balaclava man was?
No. There's several balaclava men.
It's a group.
There's now a gang.
So we... But Tim Ifield was one balaclava man.
He was wearing a balaclava when he allegedly...
But he... What,
but we don't know,
we
if,
don't
that
know
was a
if that was a copycat or if he was, you know, we don't...
Okay.
So,
yeah, we
okay,
don't
so
know.
We don't know.
It's unclear.
Yeah, we're going into season five, like, presuming we're going to find out what the crack is with the balaclavas because we don't know.
Okay, so that's 1-4 up to date. Predictions for season five.
Right. Well, I have done a little bit of homework on this as well.
Me too.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. I listened to an interview that Vicky McClure did with... Oh, I can't find my homework now. Listened to an interview that Vicky McClure and Martin Compston did. Is that how you pronounce the second name?
Compston.
Guys, he's Scottish.
Sorry, can we just
stop and talk about this for a second?
Yeah, I can't.
I saw him do an interview with Lorraine and Scottish. And so she...
Okay. I nearly collapsed when I heard him talk.
Yeah.
Well, you were listening to an interview. God, you swear we worked for the BBC. We really don't. But you were listening to an interview.
Six Music. Lauren Laverne.
And I got an email in capital letters telling me to tune in now that Martin comes to the Scottish.
And he lives in Las Vegas.
He lives in Vegas. He's so glam.
Really Scottish. That accent in Line of Duty is like faultless.
Yeah, I've gone back and watched it a few times. Like, it really is an amazing accent. It never even falters. You wouldn't have a clue. So what I wanted to say there is that this is the first time AC12 are going after a criminal gang and not going after one of their own. And the reason they're going after the gang is that it's a gang that the police are heavily involved with and heavily linked to it, and there's lots of corrupt officers working with them.
Okay.
But the biggest villain in this season is going to be Stephen Graham. Absolutely can't wait. His character is John Corbett, and he is the kind of the crime boss. So it's the first time they're really going after a criminal, which is kind of exciting.
So they're not looking at themselves from the offset.
Not so much, but I think there's obviously going to be a lot that comes out. But the balaclava men seem to be linked with Stephen Graham's group. And there's obviously going to be police kind of balaclava men in there.
Who are kind of controlling them as well.
And I'd say by going from the way the last four seasons have gone, it will obviously link itself back into stuff that's already happened.
Oh, flawless.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, flawless.
You know, Jackie Laverty's body still has never been found.
And Samson.
She's still missing.
Sorry. They moved her body from the deep freeze in the warehouse. Do you remember the flat?
The guy's freezer.
The guy in his flat.
Remember that little shit, Ryan?
Yeah. But it hasn't been found, has it?
No.
No, so she...
I don't think so.
There are a lot of unanswered, you know, plots.
Whether or not they get tied up or not.
Absolutely. So the trailer for season five is... Absolutely lit.
Yeah.
I think we could say that. There's a shot of Ted Hastings standing in a prison cell.
There's a couple of shots of Ted Hastings now. Looking and they're doing dodgy. It on purpose.
So I think there's too many shots of Ted. And they deliberately show him when they ask questions like, oh, it's time to look at the top man.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are
yeah.
you doing this to throw me?
Apparently, he didn't realise that he was going to be put under, you know, suspicion until the last couple of scenes when they were filming for series four.
Is he right?
And he was like, you get to Jed. Like, he was really annoyed. But he did say in an interview, like, obviously, you know, Vicky and Martin are, they're very tight-lipped about the plot. But in an interview, Dunbar said that he gave a little nugget of information. He said there's something going on with him that will be explored. His personal life is in focus again. He'll find himself under scrutiny. Scrutiny? Scrutiny. Is that the word?
Scrutiny.
Jesus! I hate when this happens. He'll find himself under scrutiny.
Remember when we found out a bit about him? Was it last season? And he's living in the flat separated from the wife.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit.
Up to his neck in debt.
Up to his neck. I think the wife could be making an appearance in series five.
Well, that's kind of what it sounds like. Just yeah. Doesn't she throw him out for gambling? He tried to book a holiday, remember?
Yeah, she was in it.
Yeah.
And he was like, come on, we go on this holiday. And then she ended up leaving him or something. Do you remember that? Wasn't that it?
So in the trailer for series five, it says that three police officers were murdered in a hijacking.
Yeah.
There's a whole gang of balaclava men. And the big unanswered question hangs. Who is H? Who is the shadowy police insider with direct command of a network of criminals?
Oh, I can't cope. So,
like, but the thing is, here is it. You're kind of going. It's too obviously Hastings that you'll just dismiss it and go, nah, it will never be. They won't do it. It's too obvious. But we've seen in Line of Duty before and in Bodyguard that he just goes, do you know what? I will do that.
Yeah. Talk to you. You're gone.
So, you're literally on the edge of your seat because you don't know what way it's going to go.
There was a shot at the end of series four that showed a lot of people who H could have been, and there's loads of characters with the second name beginning with H.
Okay.
And also, I've been reading theories going around that people think Kate Fleming, so Vicky McClure's middle name is H.
Okay. So, this is what I'm thinking. There's all this talk, all this focus on Ted. The two people I haven't suspected
once
are Kate and Steve. Not once.
Would it be fair to say that to make this shocking, does it need to be, like, it can't really be someone that we don't know. You can't just...
Yeah, it needs to be somebody that's been in the background all the time. What's that character's name? I really like her.
The one that tried to sleep with Ted.
No, I don't think she did. She came into it in season two, helped Dot cover up the letter, the fact that the letter was in the envelope.
Oh, she works in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went on maternity leave, didn't she?
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's coming back this season, apparently.
I love her.
We need to find out her name.
And she just seems like a really good person. It could be somebody of her sort of like stature, you know, someone that's there.
I feel like it has to be someone that's there because they've built up to it so much. It can't just be someone that they just bring in or someone that's so high up we have no connection to them.
Imagine if it was Kate or Steve.
I'll have a heart attack.
I would have a heart attack. Steve, a.k.a. What's his name? Steve Arnott? Martin Compston.
Martin Compston.
He said in an interview that this series is definitely the scariest and he said that the script is immense.
Oh my God. The trailer does look scary. There's a lot of guns in this and a lot of violence and action straight away. And I think that comes from going up against a massive crime gang. And sorry, can we just for a second talk about Stephen Graham coming into this? I am so excited. I absolutely, ever since This Is England, the fact that he's going to be on a show again with Lol, Vicky McClure, they keep saying... Martin Compston and Vicky McClure seem to be doing the rounds on interviews and they keep saying when Stephen Graham comes on set that it's a different ball game, that he just brings a different level and I just can't wait. Like, I'm so excited.
It's going to be incredible.
And he's got a gorgeous accent.
They've also said that this season's going to go way more into all of their personal lives. So we're going to find out a lot more about their home lives, their backgrounds and all that.
Show me Vicky's husband.
Show me Vicky's husband.
Did Show me Vicky's have a house.
Yeah.
Wasn't
show
Arnott?
Me Vicky's kid. Oh, we haven't seen the kid.
I thought you were going to say show me Vicky's kitchen.
I mean, I would mind seeing
Isn't Steve Arnott going out with another...
He was
copper,
seeing that.
Or did she break up with him?
She apparently is in the series as well. She features as well. They broke up when he was basically getting framed.
Riding Lindsay Denton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that didn't go down too well, as it wouldn't.
Fair enough. Like, do you know what I mean?
So, guys, I also, random Line of Duty fact, I didn't realise that they filmed it in Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
they
know that.
They filmed the first season, I think, in Birmingham, and then since then, it's
and
been
apparently
Belfast.
They all go for a curry together, like the cast all the time. They always are asking Jed, what's the plan? Yeah, and they all live beside each other in Belfast when they're there,
and they're all dead sound.
Belfast, the home of all the best shows, The Fall.
Yeah.
Oh.
At Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they go and eat, they eat in Adrian Dunbar's house.
What?
Okay, he cooks for them. Vicky's flat is the fat where the flat where they go and learn lines. And Martin's flat is where they party.
Oh my God, this is so cute.
Mr. Vegas,
yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
I would love to eat at Adrian Dunbar's house.
And guys, this podcast is going to be around for a while because apparently there's the sixth series has already been commissioned.
Oh my God.
So we've got this upcoming series and then another one. And apparently Jed has, you know, he knows the show has a lifespan and he has some thoughts on how it will end.
Amazing.
How do you thoughts. End? So Brendan, what is coming up over the next 8 weeks for Shrine of Duty?
Over the next 8 weeks, well, there's your recap anyway. You should be up to date now, ready for Sunday.
Or more confused than ever.
Or more confused than ever, yeah, to be fair. I'm really sorry. Sunday the 31st of March, 9 p.m.
Absolutely 9 p.m.
BBC One.
I'm coming in here with a top tip. Set.
Oh.
Okay. If you live in Ireland, this is presuming that we have a wide international audience, but for people in Ireland, you will not get a show on the BBC. You'll not be able to rewatch it unless you record it. So go home tonight,
yep.
Turn on your television and put a season record on Line of Duty, because what happened with Baptiste, Brendan?
What happened with Baptiste?
We were all going over
I thought I'd series linked it, and yeah. it wasn't. And then if you don't have it recorded, you can't get it.
We had to watch episode 2 in Brendan's sitting room.
Brendan
and we
had
didn't
to read out
a recap. Reenact.
He had to reenact
episode 1.
You went on one website, you go on, you reenacted the whole first episode.
I didn't
Thanks
really
million.
Bring us up to date, so I don't know if we did a great job here today either.
But basically, yeah, you can't watch BBC Player in Ireland. Line of Duty doesn't seem to be repeated, so just watch it on Sunday night or put a season record on. Don't make the mistake that Brendan will never live down with Baptiste episode 1.
He actually looks fuming now.
He's aging.
So we will be back after Sunday the 31st when the episode has gone out. We will be live tweeting during the show at Shrine of Duty. And
we're going to make some memes.
We're going to be live memeing.
Live memeing, live tweeting.
Instagram. Yeah, absolutely.
And we will be back here after the first episode has gone out, just to like review it all and
chat about it, chat talk about it. If you guys send us in theories, we'll be reading them out and just talk about it. Probably do a little recap of what happens and just...
Oh, I think we should pick our favourite, most shocking moment of the week every episode.
Yeah.
Shocking moment of the week and maybe line of the week, because there is some belt in one-liners in Line of Duty, isn't there?
Line of the week, what Jed said.
What Jed said.
I mean, we've come up with a lot of segments here today, guys. It's going to be exciting. I also think that we need to start playing that tape recorder when they're interviewing people. We do.
The tape recorder, does that get... I want to time that. Does that get longer?
It does. They're taking the piss out of it.
They're definitely taking the piss.
It's like doing the Irish oral exam or the listening exam.
Around the quiz.
Yeah.
We'll go away and do some homework and hammer home some weekly features and be back next week ready to just discuss episode 1 of season 5.
Yeah.
In the meantime, justice for DCI Lindsay Denton.
And Adrian Dunbar, please, can we come to your house?
And please don't be evil in this series, because no. We couldn't handle it.
Oh, I kind of would love it, no?
No, Brent.
Just
Brent,
for the thrill of it all.
No. Get out.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in, one thing only, and that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty, the official, unofficial podcast.